Of the Catechizing of the Unlearned by St. Augustine. Part 5. For in that also he destroyed by a flood all men except one just man and his family, who he willed should be saved by the ark, he knew assuredly that they would not amend themselves. Nevertheless, whilst during 100 years the ark was built, herein certainly was still preached to them that the wrath of God was about to come upon them. And if they would return to God, he would spare them, as he spared in after times the city of Nineveh upon its doing penance, when by his prophet he had foretold their coming destruction. But this God does, granting opportunity for repentance even to them who he knows will go on and continue in their sin, in order by his own example to exercise and instruct us in patience, that we may understand with how great long-suffering we ought to bear with the bad, seeing that we know not what kind of men they will hereafter be, since he spares them and suffers them to live, from whom nothing future is hidden. And yet, further in that sacrament of the flood, wherein the just were delivered by the wood, the future church was prophesied of, which Christ, its King and God, hath by the mystery of his cross upheld and kept from the drowning of this world. For God was not ignorant that even from them who had been preserved in the ark evil men would be born, who should a second time fill the face of the earth with their iniquities. Yet notwithstanding, he both set forth a pattern of the future judgment and foretold the setting free of his saints by the sacrament of the wood. For even after these things, evil ceased not to spring up again through pride and lusts and unlawful impieties, when men, having deserted their Creator, not only fell as low as the creation which God had created, so as to worship in the place of God that which God had made, but they also bowed down their souls even to the works of men's hands and to the devices of craftsmen, that herein the devil and evil spirits might triumph over them more shamefully, who take pleasure in that themselves in such vain devices receive adoration and worship, feeding their own errors by the errors of mankind. Nor was there wanting, then, just men, such as sought God devoutly and overcame the pride of the devil, citizens of that holy city, whom the coming humiliation of their King Christ, revealed to them by the Spirit, healed. From among whom Abraham, the devout and faithful servant of God, was chosen, that to him should be showed the sacrament of the Son of God, that so in following his faith, all the faithful of all nations might be called in future ages his children. From him was born a people who should worship the one true God who made heaven and earth, at a time when all other nations served idols and demons. And manifestly in this people was the future church much more clearly prefigured. For in it there was a multitude who were carnal and who worshipped God in order to obtain blessings, such as may be seen. But in it also there were a few whose thoughts were of a future rest, their desires set on a heavenly country, to whom was revealed in prophecy the future humiliation of God, our King and Lord Jesus Christ, in order that by that faith they might be healed from all pride and haughtiness. But of these saints who lived before the time of the birth of our Lord, not only their discourse but their life also, their marriages, their sons, their actions, were a prophecy of this present time, in which through faith in the passion of Christ, the church is gathered together from among the nations. By the hands of those holy patriarchs and prophets were ministered to the carnal people of Israel, who afterwards were called Jews, both these visible blessings which they carnally desired of the Lord, and such chastisements of punishments for the body, as might for a time affright them, as was fitting for their hardness of heart. And yet, in all these, spiritual mysteries were signified, such as related to Christ and his church. of which church these very saints also were members, although in this life they were before that Christ our Lord was born according to the flesh. For he himself, the only begotten Son of God, the Word of the Father, equal and co-eternal with the Father, by whom all things were made, was made man for us, that of the church, as of the whole body, he might be the head. But as at the time of the birth of the whole man, although the hand he put forth first in the birth, yet is it united and joined together with the whole body under the head, as certain also among the patriarchs themselves, to signify this very thing, were born when the hand had been sent forth first, so all the saints who were upon earth before the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, although born before, yet to that one body of which he is the head, they were united under the head. This people then, having gone down into Egypt, were in subjection to a very cruel king, and taught by their grievous labors, sought for God to be their deliverer. And there were sent unto them one from among the people themselves, God's holy servant Moses, who in the might of God, terrifying by miracles the then ungodly nation of the Egyptians, led out thence the people of God through the Red Sea, where the water divided and made a way for them to pass through. But when the Egyptians pursued them, the waters returned upon them and overwhelmed them, and they perished. So in like manner as by the flood, the earth by water was cleansed from the wickedness of sinners, who were then in that overflowing of water blotted out, and the just escaped by the wood. So when the people of God went out of Egypt, they found a path through the very waters by which their enemies were swallowed up. Nor was the sacrament of the wood wanting there also. For Moses smote with a rod, so that miracle might come to pass. Now both these things are a sign of holy baptism, in which the faithful pass into a new life, and their sins, as it were their enemies, are blotted out and die. But more openly was the passion of Christ prefigured among that people, in that they were commanded to slay and eat a lamb, and with part of his blood to mark their doorposts, and to celebrate this every year, and to call it the Lord's Passover. Surely, most clearly does prophecy say of our Lord Jesus Christ that he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. With the sign of whose passion and of whose cross thou art today to be signed in thy forehead as on the doorpost, and all Christian people are thus signed. After this, that people were led during 40 years through the wilderness. They also received the law written by the finger of God, by which word the Holy Spirit is signified, as is most clearly shown in the gospel. For God is not limited by any bodily form, nor are we to conceive of parts and fingers in him in the same manner as we see them in ourselves. But because through the Holy Spirit God's gifts are divided to the saints, in order that being endued with different powers, they yet may not separate from the bond of love, and that in fingers especially is seen a certain division and yet no cutting off from unity, whether it be for this or whatsoever other cause, the Holy Spirit is called the finger of God. Yet must we not, when we hear this, have in our thoughts the form of a human body? This people then received the law written by the finger of God, and that in tables of stone, to signify the hardness of their hearts, in that they were not about to fulfill the law. Seeing that through desiring temporal gifts at the hands of the Lord, they were held by carnal fear rather than spiritual love. But the law nothing save charity can fulfill. Therefore were they laden with many visible sacraments, that so they might be weighed down by a servile yoke, in observances of meats, and in sacrifices of animals, and numberless other things, which yet were signs of spiritual things relating to our Lord Jesus Christ and the church, which at that time A few saints both understood so as to gain from them the fruit of salvation, and observed as was suited to the times, whereas the multitude of carnal men merely observed and did not understand them. Thus through many and various signs of future things, all which things it would take the time to mention, and which we now see fulfilled in the church, that people were led to the land of promise, wherein to reign after a temporal and carnal fashion, according as was their desire, which very earthly kingdom, notwithstanding, bore an image of the heavenly kingdom. There was built Jerusalem, that most famous city of God, serving in bondage as a sign of that free city, which is called the heavenly Jerusalem, which is a Hebrew word, and by interpretation, the vision of peace, the citizens of which are all sanctified men, who have been, and who are, and who hereafter shall be, and all sanctified spirits, even all whosoever in the highest heavens obey God with godly devotion, and follow not the impious pride of the devil and his angels. The king of this city is our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, by whom the highest angels are ruled, and the Word, taking to himself man, that by him men also might be ruled, who altogether with him shall reign in eternal peace. To prefigure this king in that earthly kingdom of the people of Israel, King David was especially set forth, of whose seed, according to the flesh, should come our very and true King, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is over all, God blessed forever. Many things in that land of promise were done to be a figure of Christ who should come, and of the church, which you will be able to learn by degrees in the sacred books themselves. Again, some generations after, God showed another type, relating greatly to the matter of which we are speaking. For that city was brought into captivity, and a great portion led away into Babylon. But as Jerusalem signifies the city and fellowship of the saints, so does Babylon signify the city and fellowship of the wicked, being by interpretation confusion. Concerning which, two cities, from the beginning of the human race even to the end of the world, moving on, the one blended with the other, in all changes and times, and hereafter in the last judgment appointed to be separated, we have already spoken a little above. That captivity, then, of the city of Jerusalem, and that people led away to Babylon, are commanded to go into slavery by the Lord, through Jeremiah, a prophet of that time. And there were found kings of Babylon under whom they were in bondage, who by occasion of their captivity, moved by certain miracles, learned to know and worshipped and commanded to be worshipped the one true God who framed the whole creation. And they were also ordered both to pray for those by whom they were kept captives, and in their peace to hope for peace, to beget children, and to build houses, and to plant gardens and vineyards. But after 70 years there is promised them delivery from that captivity. But all this signified under a figure that the Church of Christ and all its saints, who are citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem, was to be in bondage under the kings of this world. For the teaching also of the Apostle says that every soul be subject to the higher powers, and that there be rendered all things to all men, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom. And all other things, which saving our duty of worship to God, we render to the princes of the order of human society. Since the Lord himself, that he might give us an example of this sound teaching, refused not to vouchsafe to pay tribute for that individual manhood wherein he was clothed. Still further, Christian servants and good believers are commanded to serve their temporal masters faithfully and with willing minds, whom hereafter they will judge, if even to the last they shall find them unrighteous, or if with whom they shall reign together in common, if they too shall turn unto the true God. Yet all are commanded to be subject to the powers that are of man and of this earth, until at the end of an appointed time, which is signified by the 70 years, the church be set free from the confusion of this world, as Jerusalem from the captivity of Babylon. By occasion of which captivity, the kings of the earth themselves, having deserted their idols, in whose behalf they used to persecute the Christians, have learned to know and do worship the one true God and the Lord Christ, for whom the Apostle Paul orders prayer to be made, even when they persecuted the church. For he thus says, I beseech therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for kings, for all men, and all that are in high station, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life with all godliness and love. Thus by these very persons peace has been given to the church, although it be only temporal. Temporal quiet to build up houses after a spiritual manner, and to plant gardens and vineyards. For see, you yourself, at this very instant, we are, by this discourse, building up and planting. And this is doing all over the world, with peaceable allowance of Christian kings. As the same apostle says, you are God's husbandry, you are God's building. And after 70 years, the number which Jeremiah had prophesied of in a mystery, to prefigure the end of times, to the end that the figure itself might be made perfect, there was in Jerusalem a rebuilding of the temple of God. But in that the whole was done in a figure, there was no sure peace and liberty given to the Jews. Therefore they were afterwards conquered by the Romans, and made tributary. In truth, from that very period at which they received the land of promise and began to have kings, that they might not suppose that the promise of Christ as their deliverer was fulfilled in the person of any of their kings, Christ was in many prophecies prophesied of more openly, not only by David himself in the book of Psalms, but by the rest, both great and holy prophets, even to the time of their going captive to Babylonia. And in the very captivity there were prophets who prophesied of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the deliverer of all. And after that, the 70 years were passed, and the temple was restored, the Jews suffered at the hands of the kings of the Gentiles so great oppression and distress that they might understand that their deliverer was not yet come, concerning whom they understood not that he should deliver them after a spiritual manner, but longed for him in order to a carnal deliverance. Now when 5 ages of the world were accomplished, of which the first is from the beginning of the human race, that is, from Adam, who was the first man created, down to Noah, who made the ark at the time of the flood, after this, the second extends down to Abraham, who was called the father of all nations which should follow his faith, but who yet in the way of descent from his own flesh was the father of the future Jewish people, which one people, before the Christian faith was embraced by the Gentiles, alone among all those in all the earth worshipped the one true God, of which very people, according to the flesh, our Savior Christ should come. But these distinct periods of 2 ages are very prominent to the old books. But those of the other 3 are declared likewise in the Gospel, where the descent according to the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ is stated. For the 3rd is from Abraham down to King David. The 4th, from David down to that captivity in which the people of God passed into Babylon. The 5th, from that passing into Babylon, down to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, from the time of whose coming is the 6th age. That now that spiritual grace, which then was known to a few patriarchs and prophets, might be made manifest to all nations, that no man might worship God except freely, not seeking at his hands such rewards for the service as are seen, and happiness in the present life, but only life eternal in which to enjoy God himself, in order that in this age man's mind may be renewed after the image of God, as on the sixth day man was created after the image of God. For then also is the law fulfilled, when not through desire of temporal things, but through love of him who hath commanded, all things whatsoever he commanded are done. But who must desire earnestly to love in return a most just and merciful God, who so first loved men, that were most unjust and proud, as for their sake to send his only Son, by whom he made all things, who being made man, not by any change of himself, but by taking unto himself man, might not only live with them, but also be slain for them and by them? Therefore, making known the New Testament of our eternal inheritance, wherein man renewed by the grace of God might live a new life, that is, a spiritual life, that he might show the first to be old, wherein a carnal people, in the character of the old man, excepting a few patriarchs and prophets who understood, and certain hidden saints, living after a carnal manner, desired carnal rewards at the hand of the Lord God, and received them as a figure of spiritual good things. Therefore the Lord Christ, being made man, despised all the good things of the earth, in order to show us that they are to be despised, and endured all the evils of the earth which he enjoined us are to be endured, that neither happiness might be sought in the one, nor unhappiness feared in the other. For being born of a mother, who, although she had conceived undefiled by man, and continued ever undefiled, virgin in her conception, virgin in her bringing forth, virgin in her death, yet had been espoused to a carpenter, he extinguished all the pride of nobility of birth after the flesh. And in that he was born also in the city of Bethlehem, which among all the cities of Judah was so small, that it is at this day called a village, it was not his will that any should glory in the greatness of any earthly city. Also he was made poor, whose are all things, and by whom all things were made, that no one who believed in him might dare to be elated on account of earthly riches. He would not be made a king by men, because he was showing the way of humility to wretched beings whom pride had separated from him, although all creation bear witness to his ever-eternal reign. He was hungry, who feeds all men. He was thirsty, by whom is created everything that is drunk, and who is spiritually the bread of the hungry and the fountain of the thirsty. He was wearied with his earthly journey, who hath made himself the way for us to heaven. He was, as it were, dumb and deaf before his revilers, by whom the dumb spoke and the deaf heard. He was bound, who loosed from the bonds of infirmities. He was scourged, who drove out of men's bodies the scourges of all pains. He was put to the torment of the cross, who put an end to all our torments. He died, who raised the dead. But he arose also, never more to die, that no one from him might learn so to despise death, as if he were never hereafter to live. Then, having confirmed the disciples, and having conversed with them during 40 days, in the sight of these same he ascended up into heaven. And when 50 days were accomplished after his resurrection, he sent to them the Holy Spirit, for so he had promised, by whom, having love shed abroad in their hearts, that they might fulfill the law not only without feeling it a burden, but even with gladness of heart. Now this law was given to the Jews in 10 commandments, which they call the Decalogue. And these again are reduced to 2, that we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, and that we love our neighbor as ourselves. but that on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Our Lord himself hath both said in the gospel and by his example shown. For in the case likewise of the people of Israel, from the day on which they first celebrated the Passover in a figure, killing and eating the lamb with whose blood their doorposts were marked as a safeguard, from this very day, then, the 50th day was fulfilled, and they received the law written by the finger of God, by which word we have already said that the Holy Spirit is signified. So, after the passion and resurrection of the Lord, which is the true Passover, on the 50th day the Holy Spirit himself was sent to the disciples. Now, no longer by tables of stone signifying the hardness of their hearts. But when they were assembled together in one place, at Jerusalem itself, there was on a sudden a sound from heaven as of the rushing of a mighty blast, and there appeared unto them tongues divided as of fire, and they began to speak with tongues, so that all who would come to them recognized each his own tongue. For to that city there were wont to assemble Jews from every land, wheresoever they had been dispersed, and had learnt the different tongues of the different nations. After this, preaching Christ with all confidence, they worked many signs in his name, insomuch that as Peter passed by a certain dead man, his shadow touched him, and he arose again. But when the Jews saw that so great signs were being done in his name, whom partly through envy and partly through ignorance they had crucified, some were provoked to persecute the apostles who preached him. Others, however, wondering the more at that very thing, that in his name, whom they had mocked as borne down and overcome by themselves, so great miracles were being done. Repenting, they were converted and believed in him, to the number of some thousands of the Jews. These were no longer desiring at the hand of God temporal benefits in an earthly kingdom, nor looking for Christ, their promised king, after a carnal manner. But understanding in the way of immortality, and loving him who had endured so great things by the way of mortality for them, at their own hands, and had forgiven them their sins even to the sin of his own bloodshedding, and by the example of his resurrection, had held forth immortality as what they were to hope for and desire of him. Therefore now, mortifying the earthly desires of the old man, and burning with the newness of the spiritual life, according as the Lord, in the gospel, had enjoined, they sold all that they had, and laid the prices of their properties at the feet of the apostles, that they might distribute to each as each had need. And living in Christian love and concord, they said not that anything was their own, but they had all things in common, and were of one soul and of one heart towards God. Afterwards themselves also suffered persecution in the flesh from the Jews, their carnal fellow citizens, and were dispersed abroad, that so by their being dispersed the name of Christ might be preached more widely, and themselves likewise imitate the patience of our Lord, in that he who had meekly suffered them commanded them to become meek and to suffer for his sake. Of the number of these persecutors of the saints was the Apostle Paul, who also raged extremely against the Christians. But afterwards, believing and being made an apostle, he was sent to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, enduring more grievous things for the name of Christ than he had done against the name of Christ. But when he was founding churches throughout all the nations where he had preached the gospel, he earnestly enjoined them that since they, coming from the worship of idols and unskilled to worship the one true God, could not easily serve God by selling and making distribution of their property, they should make collections for the poor ones of the saints who were in the churches of Judea which had believed in Christ. Thus the teaching of the apostle appointed the one to be, as it were, soldiers, the others, as it were, tributaries of the provinces, placing Christ in the midst as a cornerstone, according as had been foretold of him by the prophet, in whom both, as walls coming together from different points, that is to say, from the Jews and from the Gentiles, might be united in true kindred affection. But afterwards, more grievous and frequent persecutions arose from the nations who believed not against the Church of Christ. And day by day was the Lord's saying fulfilled when he prophesied, "Behold, I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves." But that vine which was spreading abroad her fruitful branches throughout the whole world, as had been prophesied of her, and as the Lord himself had foretold, made larger shoots, the more richly she was watered with the blood of the martyrs. And as throughout all lands countless numbers died for the truth of the faith, the very persecuting kingdoms gave way, and bowed the neck of pride, and turned themselves to know and worship Christ. But it was fitting that this same vine, as had been often foretold by the Lord, should be pruned, and the unfruitful branches cut away from it, by which heresies and schisms in different places were caused under the name of Christ, by men who sought not his glory but their own, by whose differences the church might be more and more exercised, and both its doctrine and its patience be proved and made clear. All these things, therefore, as we read of them foretold so long before, so also do we perceive them accomplished. And as the first Christians, in that they as yet saw not the coming to pass of these things, were by miracles moved to believe, so we, in that all these things have been so fulfilled, as we read them in the books, which were written long before these things were fulfilled, wherein all things were spoken of as future and are now seen of as present, are built up unto faith, to believe, enduring and abiding in the Lord, that those things also which remain will, without any doubt, come to pass. Seeing that we still read of future tribulations in the same scriptures, and of that last day, the day of judgment, wherein all the citizens of both these cities will receive again their bodies, and arise, and give an account of their life before the judgment seat of Christ the Judge. For he will come in the brightness of his power, who before deigned to come in the humiliation of his humanity, and he will separate all the godly from the ungodly, not only from them who altogether would not believe in him, but from them also who believed in him in vain and without fruit, about to give to the one an eternal kingdom with himself, to the others eternal punishment with the devil. But as no joy springing from temporal things can be found in any way like the joy of eternal life, which the saints are hereafter to receive, so no torment of temporal punishments can be compared to the eternal torments of the wicked. End of part 5.